We turn to God's Word in this and any time of need. God's Word, the Bible says that we should call on the Lord when there is any kind of trouble and in any time of trouble. The Bible, God's Word, although its words are thousands of years old, still speak to us in our need, just as God intended to tell us about life and death and life beyond death. In the book of Psalms, we read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, we will not fear. It has occurred to me that in our day and age, we know more about tsunamis, that they are caused by earthquakes that affect the ocean floor. They didn't know that in Bible times, and yet we understand these Bible words very well. Even if the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. But the Bible quickly adds, we will not fear. Even if the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, we will not fear, because God is our help. Surely the loss of Jim Shoemaker is its own tsunami in this community. But we read again from the psalm, God is our strength, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change. Let us pray to the God who wants to help us today. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, from whom we come and unto whom our spirits may return, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and of your love there is no end. Grant that your presence will be more real to us than our sorrow, and that we may have such faith in you as shall bring us to light and peace through the promises of Christ our Lord. Amen. We turn to perhaps the best known of all the scriptures in God's Word, the 23rd Psalm, and I'll read first the traditional rendering and then the Good News Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths, as he has promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home forever. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes in God's Word has these words for us, words that tell us that death is a part of life, as are tears and sorrow. All are a part of God's plan. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. The prophet Isaiah says this about our life together in the future. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast, and he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil of mourning that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Now, I usually include portions of the obituary during any funeral service. Despite the fact of Jim Shoemaker's long life and many years of service to family and the Daleville community, Jim's formal obituary is rather brief. Fortunately, the town of Daleville's Autumn Fest committee had the wisdom to nominate and choose Jim Shoemaker as Citizen of the Year in 2010. With that award came a fuller description of Jim's life leading up to being Citizen of the Year for Daleville. But before I begin to share that with you, I would notice that despite the brief formal obituary, much, much more has to be said about Jim Shoemaker. Much more has to be said about Jim's life because he lived his life so publicly, as I shall describe. James Graham Shoemaker was born at home in Daleville, Indiana, June 23, 1933. Jim was one of the Shoemakers of Salem Township, a family that traces its roots to the earliest years in Salem Township history. Pioneers, some of the earliest landowners in the township. Jim grew up surrounded by a community here in Daleville, and it was a safe community, everywhere, all the time. It was a time when the answer to the question, "It's 11 o'clock, do you know where your child is?" the answer was that as long as they were somewhere in Daleville, they were fine. Back in the day, as my kids say, running the streets of town was not living on the edge. Running the streets was a perfectly safe thing to do. Everyone in town knew and looked after all the kids. Today we say it takes a village to raise a child. I cannot claim the truth of that statement, but in Jim's youth, the village raised the child, whether it took the whole village to do it or not. Jim, as a boy, could walk into any store or restaurant, and yes, Daleville had several eating establishments, and Jim could get anything he needed, and all the merchants were confident that his grandfather, Vance Shoemaker, would be in over the weekend to pay Jim's tab. He could take the streetcar from here in Daleville unattended to Anderson to see a movie, or even hitchhike to Yorktown to go skating. Jim liked to tell of skating all the way down State Road 32 to get home from the skating rink. Jim could sleep at home or be welcomed into other homes of friends and neighbors. The whole town was this man's home. For most of high school, Jim's uncle, Jack Walker, took him in. And this isn't just a tale of how safe Daleville was, or how crime-free America was at that time. This also speaks to Jim's character. People didn't mind having Jim in their home, or overnight, or in their store, or in their restaurant. Jim was a member of the Boy Scouts of America, back when honoring God and country wasn't a political statement. All his life, he remembered, and I think we can add Jim believed in, and Jim followed, the Boy Scout oath. And although Jim had all that freedom, he was sure to get himself to worship at church. Although he was one of the few members of his immediate family to do so, all through high school, every Sunday morning, Jim was in church. In addition, he began to work and earn money early. In high school, he worked at Warner Gear, Delco Remy, and in several gas stations belonging to his uncles and cousins in both Daleville and Anderson. All of the men of the family and community stepped up in the role as father, mentor, teacher, and guide. He spent a lot of time at the station at Wayne and Walnut before it was his corner. At the station, he worked for Kirby Shoemaker and Tony Cannon. They were special mentors. Jim also worked for local farmers and the canning factory here in Daleville. Yes, Daleville had industry. Jim graduated from Daleville High School in 1953, having participated and lettered in sports, basketball, baseball, and track. He won the county in shot put. Jim was not particularly attracted to studies, but one home economics teacher, yes, back then, home economics was a course in school for credit and probably needs to be again, but the teacher, Hazel Baker, saw an opportunity and called Jim into the home ec room every time the appliances or sewing machines needed repair. Due to an accident working at Cash and Carry Lumber, Jim lost his finger, and while healing, was taken in to work for Shoemaker Electric, Shoemaker with a different spelling, different family. Jim was not so much interested in school, but one year he got very interested in the new first grade teacher, Joyce DeHaven. And not long after, they were married, and they almost made their 60th wedding anniversary together. To their union, two children were born. They've been serving their communities and shared grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Jim started his own company in 1975, Jim Shoemaker Services Incorporated. By that time, he had already been in and out of many homes in the area doing wiring and plumbing. With his own company, those relationships continued and grew. In this way, Jim Shoemaker's life was so very public. Shakespeare wrote that all the world is a stage and we are merely players on it. Jim was on stage occasionally, but he was always backstage repairing, building, fixing, and helping. He helped the rest of us do our part. He was a man everyone trusted. He could and would come to the rescue. It would be impossible to number the times Jim came to Daleville Christian Church Daycare Center to resolve one crisis or another. Heat, water, whatever it was. Our longtime daycare director, Mrs. Sells, would say, "Well, call Jim." I can't say that he treated everyone as a priority, but we got that feeling at Daleville Christian Church that we were on the quick response list and we were near the top. Later in life, I also cannot number the times Jim was in the hospital. Sometimes as pastor, I would only find out after the fact. I would see him in the van ready to drive off somewhere, and I would say, "How are you?" And he would say, "I just got back from the hospital yesterday." Hospitals to Jim Shoemaker were just a necessary nuisance. When you had to go, and as soon as you wanted to, get back to work. Notice I said as soon as Jim wanted to go back to work. Jim went back to work. After all, what did the doctor know about recovery from surgery? Jim never willingly went to the hospital. Even when he knew some surgery had to take place, he tried not to let the pain keep him from crawling under the sink or into the crawl space to fix something. Jim Shoemaker was always grateful to the Daleville community for raising him, for taking care of him, for employing him, for bringing his wife to him at Daleville Elementary School, and grateful for friends, neighbors, and continued work and employment that he loved to do. Jim was always grateful, and Jim was always wanting to return the favor. Jim donated time and money to the schools and local organizations. As I mentioned, he seemed to make Daleville Christian Church a priority in its moments of greatest need, and he was always slow on the billing. If the bill ever showed up in the church's mailbox. Often church people would ask me, "Well, how much did that cost?" And I say, "I don't know. I haven't seen the bill." I forget when it was that I stopped asking for a bill for his services. And I know, and you know, that Daleville Christian Church was not the only recipient of this gratitude and generosity. And I'll return to this theme in a little bit. Lots of elderly or needy clients did not get bills, or they were already marked paid. Jim loved this community, but he could leave it for vacations and travel. Jim had favorite places and beaches and events, but he could only enjoy that for so long, and then he had to be back in Daleville on his corner. During Jim Shoemaker's last 3 months, Jim had received excellent care. The family wishes to express sincere appreciation to all of the staff at the three St. Vincent hospitals and the staff at Miller's Merry Manor in Middletown. The family are also grateful to friends who sat with family and enjoyed time with Jim on Jim's good days. This made everything easier at the nursing home. On March 31st, 2017, Jim's grateful and generous heart stopped beating, and Jim Shoemaker died, surrounded by family, and had to leave the community he loved. There are many more details of Jim's life I could share, and that all of you could share, it is my hope that you will share these details with one another as you remember Jim and treasure your memories of him. But as pastor, I move on to the message portion of this service. My purpose today as pastor is to open the Word of God, the Bible. I trust that that means that what I have to say will be helpful to you, because my wish and hope is that I can offer all of us some help in the work of grieving. So I'm the lead pastor here at Daleville Christian Church. I'm lead minister because I'm not quite ready to be a senior anything. So I prefer lead pastor, thank you. But a minister, yes, I lead the church, but I am a minister of God's Word, which means I'm here to apply the Word of God to our situation. I'm here to open the words of God for you to hear them, and I hope for you to come to understand that the God I serve wants to say to you today in your situation. For you to know God's love, to know God's comfort and our Lord's peace. And we believe that what God tells us in His Word is true. I'll mention Jesus as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus taught about God. Those of the Christian faith, the Christian religion, we claim Jesus is God's Son, and as God's special representative, as one who knows the Heavenly Father, Jesus speaks for God. The Lord cares about us more than we realize. The Lord wants to be with us even when we are not sure that we want to be with Him. That is the love of God. The Lord is caring for you now in your grief. Grief is a difficult pain. But the Bible says that there is a peace that is beyond our understanding, so maybe we won't get it, and yet we will still get it, if that makes any sense at all. Despite the fact that parts of the Bible are over 4,000 years old and Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, the words of the Bible still speak to us in the 21st century. The Bible takes seriously the reality of death. The Bible takes seriously and the Bible speaks of life after death. So I remind you that God's Word says that God made us all. Our God made everything. Since God made us also, then God knows quite a bit about us. Jesus said that God knows us so well that the hairs on our head are numbered for Him. The Lord God knows us that well. And it isn't just a head knowledge that God has. God has a heart knowledge of us as well. As a God who made us, God thinks that we are very special. There isn't anyone like us anywhere at any time in human history. So we know that the Lord gives good gifts. He gives life. The Lord takes note of our life and the Lord takes note of our deaths. As a part of God's creation, as one of God's special creations, God takes notice of our passing from this life. People will sometimes talk about other people not knowing about them or caring what happens to them, but God does know what happens to us and God does care about it. So it's right for us to acknowledge the death of loved ones and our grief with funeral services. For the Lord also notes the passing. The Bible reminds us life is the Lord's, all life, our life. The Lord's made everything, but everything has a beginning and it has an end. Creatures are born and they die. Life has a beginning, life has an end. Now the Word of God reminds us, for everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. Yes, all of us must die. Death is a part of life. It's natural. But that does not mean that we are glad when death comes. When death comes, our life changes, our positions in life change, married people become widow or widower, children may become orphans. Death remains one of the mysteries of life. We may weep and we may grieve. This too is a part of the plan as we read about it in the Bible. We read in God's Word, for everything there is a season, a time for mourning, there is a time for crying, a time for tears. This is one of those times. And this is also a part of God's plan. Even Jesus participated in this plan when Jesus heard of the death of his friend Lazarus. The Bible says in its shortest verse, simply, Jesus wept. We experience sadness at losing Jim. This is certainly normal and natural. We may be sad today. The Lord has given us tear ducts, and the Lord intends for us to use them. Even Jesus cried when he heard of the death of his friend Lazarus. A time for mourning and for crying. Death is a part of life. It's always been so. Often folks protest, why did this have to happen? But death was always a part of the plan. And we believe that this is a loving plan. We are God's creation, but God has created all of us with more than bodies that die. God has created us both body and soul. The body is destined for but a short time on earth, but the soul God has intended to live with God forever in the heavenly places. And that brings us to the second great promise we find in God's word. But let's not forget the first promise. We need never be alone. Jesus promises to be with us. God will help us in our time of need. But we move on to a second promise, that death is not the end. So we turn to God's word to know that even as we have lost, that this loss is not the end. There's a plan for all of us, a hope and a future that stretches beyond this life. Sometimes people think that religion and faith are all about death, but they are not. Not really. The Christian faith is about life. Our God is a God of the living. Life begins in the kingdom of God here on earth, and then life continues in the heavenly places. So the life that continues forever had its beginnings in Jesus on earth. The life that is eternal is the one that Jesus began in us. The life that we began living for Jesus here on earth continues with Jesus in death. For we do not see God clearly in this life here on earth, but in death we will see God clearly. One of the purposes for which we were all made is that God has intended that we live forever with him. We were made to last forever. This is due to the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." At the end, Jesus himself comes for us. Life eternal is available through faith in Jesus, who lived and died and lives again. We can experience God's presence and God's love in this life through Jesus Christ if we will only accept him. If you have not done that, you can do that today. Jesus said, "Don't be upset, don't be troubled. I'm preparing a place for you, and I will come. I myself will come so we can be together." Jesus made clear to the disciples when he walked the earth that although he had to die on the cross, that basically Jesus was blazing a trail through death. Jesus would conquer death. "Believe in God," Jesus said. "Believe also in me." And that brings us to another great promise we find in God's word. We will inherit a heavenly home. The Apostle Paul speaks of the body as a tent. It's a wonderful image for the ancient peoples. The Apostle Paul speaks of an earthly tent, and then he speaks of a house in heaven not made with hands. Notice the trade-in. Tent to building. While here on earth, we only have a tent. When we go to the Lord in heaven, we get a building. And it's better than anything here on earth because the hands that made the heavenly dwelling are not earthly hands. That will be our heavenly dwelling, which the Lord gives to all the faithful. There were times in the last weeks that Jim made reference to his house in heaven. Jim knew all about Jesus' promise and Jesus' preparation for Jim's arrival. And at the end, Jim said to the family, "I don't want to go, but I have to go." Jim trusted Jesus. I don't know how many of you heard about Jesus from Jim, but our Lord Jesus said this, "Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." And Jesus also said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." The fruit of Jim's life seems obvious. A good tree has borne good fruit. Finally, another promise in the Bible. We won't be alone in heaven. The Apostle Paul speaks of being together with the Lord. "Comfort one another with these words," he writes. When speaking of death and resurrection, the Apostle always uses the word "we," not single but together. We shall meet the Lord. We shall all be changed in a moment. Always we. In life everlasting, in life eternal, folks will be together again. The apostle writes, we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you all into his presence. Heaven is no place for one person. Heaven is not full of individuals, but of people together. We might be with people as we have been in this life, but far better, for we will be together with God who gave us life, where there is no sickness, no heart trouble, no diabetes, neither is there any death anymore. This time of being in our heavenly home is to be a time when we are together with the Lord, with people you love and people who love you. It's always pictured in the Bible as a particularly happy time, a festival, a party. Jesus spoke of a feast. The prophets of God spoke of a feast. But it would be far better than anything we have enjoyed on earth. God's word says that in that future time, God will be with his people and the Lord himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We shall be together again in joy and we shall rejoice. And nothing will take our joy from us because we will all be together with the Lord. Our joy will last forever. Amen. I close with assurance from God's word. Same verse in two versions. The one who chose you will do that for you. You can trust him. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The family also requested this brief poem by Christy Martine. Don't cry for me. I'm not gone. My soul is at rest, my heart lives on. Light a candle for me to see and hold on to my memory. But save your tears, for I'm still here by your side through the years. And as we draw to a close in this service, hear again from the Word of God the promises made to the faithful. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love. Those who do not remain in death. By this we know, love, that Christ laid down his life for us. Hear also what the Apostle Paul testified to the church. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit, which dwells in you. The last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation of John, says this about our future, echoing the words of the prophet Isaiah, spoken hundreds of years before. Behold, the dwelling of God is with humanity. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, you made us so that we might live, and then die, and then live again with you. Even so, the departures are difficult. We trust you in arrivals and departures from this life. As we trust in you, grant us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We conclude with Jesus' own words. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you, and again your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And so now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in all ways. The Lord be with you. Amen.